pray about that word. Father, we just thank you just for the moving of your Holy Spirit in our lives. We just thank you, Father, that you're always speaking. It's a man count living bread and over every word that keeps proceeding from the mouth of the Father. So thank the Lord that we live by your word. And we just want to eat and drink everything that's just pouring from your lips today, because your word is the power to lift us, upwards in Christ, and to bless us where you see us to be, where you have positioned us. So just thank you just for those words, that there will be a turning point in all of our lives tonight, Father, because that's what your Spirit does. You bring us to that place of seeing as we've never seen before. And I just pray that for myself and every person under the sound of your word tonight, Lord, that we would feel ourselves lifted and edified by everything you say through your word. In Jesus' name, amen.
Praise,
praise God. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Bruce and Dave. I love the choices of choruses and hymns that we were singing, because they all pointed us to Christ. Praise God. And one of the really things I have on my heart over this weekend is the power of having your vision lifted to see something you've never seen before. It's such a beautiful thing. So I want to begin just by thanking you. I put my glasses on so I can see you. Praise the Lord. And tonight is a little bit different. And everything Simon said was correct. Very often in these weekends, things don't go according to plan. And that's a very good thing, in the sense that you're thrown out onto a different place, and nobody's in their familiar surroundings. Everybody's had to take a little step of faith to come here, praise God. And I always find when you come to a weekend like this, I make lots of notes. I have to admit, I never read any of my notes. Never. Honestly, for years and years and years. And I don't know why I do it, but every time I must write this down, and I'll definitely learn this and read this. The only thing I ever remember from gathering like this is who I met. And I always think, you know, even though I've obviously prepared things to say, I get excited when God just carries me along to say something that I never planned to say. Because I believe that what he wants to say depends on the questions in the room. The Holy Spirit wants to minister to the people in the room. He doesn't want to answer questions you're not asking. And therefore, when you come into a gathering, you may think that you don't make a contribution. You may think that, oh, it's not really important if I'm not there because I don't do this, I don't speak, I don't lead worship. You're wrong. Your spirit in that place has an impact.
Yes.
The Bible says we're one body, one spirit, one blessed, we're all blessed. One struggling, we're all struggling. So whatever struggle you're going through tonight, the Holy Spirit sees that and he draws answers from the word. And so I may have prepared something, but the emphasis will go in a completely different direction. And I love that. I love looking back and thinking, well, why did I say that? Holy Spirit knows. You don't have to know. So thank you to Simon and to Mel and Paul and Daryl and the leadership team for inviting me here to give me the privilege of speaking with you. And I know that I found that when I come to a weekend like this, I don't know anybody. I don't know your earthly record, and you're not that familiar with my earthly record. And therefore, that actually allows things to happen that don't sometimes otherwise happen. You see, because when somebody comes to my church to speak, I find that people are very open and they're receiving, and I'm sitting there going, but I say this all the time. And I'm nervous, you know. And so feel sorry for your pastor. Have some of your pastor this weekend. Jesus found that, you know. He found that on his own hometown, there wasn't the same reception. You know why? Because they knew him after his earthly record. They said, we know this man. We know his brothers and sisters. We know his family. Who does he think he is, you know? And so what I want to show you tonight is what the Holy Spirit wants to do. He wants to remove from you your view of your earthly record. It's such a beautiful thing, you know? Maybe for years you've heard that in Christ you have a new future. I got some even better news. In Christ you have a new past. For you died. And your life is hidden with Christ and God. And I want to show you actually the revelation of that, what difference that makes. It's quite an amazing thing, you know? So there's a dynamic in the room when people are together. You know, I used to read that scripture that said, where two or more are gathered, there I am in the midst. And I used to think, that's a bit strange, isn't it? I mean, what about when I'm by myself? Aren't you in the midst when I'm by myself? But you see, when two or three are gathered, you have to speak. And so basically when you have a conversation, if I came to you now and we had a conversation, I have no idea what I'm going to say, and you have no idea what you're going to say, but isn't it beautiful that the Holy Spirit speaks when we come together, open our mouths? So Simon's absolutely right. There's something beautiful about the body coming together, you know. And you know, in this world that measures us to death, to learn to simply be is a miracle. I'm going to talk a lot about being this weekend. I'm not here, say amen, to give you one piece of advice this weekend. Good advice doesn't set hearts alight, good news sets hearts alight. You know? The whole world is drowning right now in good advice. We are not people who come with advice, we come with news. We've come from a great victory, we come with news, praise God. So I just love that dynamic that happens when people get together and the Holy Spirit begins to draw things out, you know. So I thought tonight, well, first of all, actually, I had a lovely evening with, it was Christine and Michael and their two children, I think it's Elijah and Isaiah. I don't know if they're still here. But, you know, if I wanted to preach the gospel to you, I'd just bring you and let you watch those two parents looking after the children. Because a number of years ago, I came into a revelation of the heart of the Father, and it changed me, and it changed my life, and it just changed my whole perception of the gospel and who God was. And I want to talk a little bit about that over the weekend. I'm not unfamiliar with Devon and this area because 30 years ago I worked here. I'm actually a qualified veterinary surgeon. So my first job was working in Oakhampton. Who knows where Oakhampton is? Not that far away. So I worked there for 2 years. And two very happy years. I found people down here very friendly. And especially to an Irishman, you know. Praise God. And a year after that, my wife qualified as well in Nicola, and she can't be here this weekend, and she went to work in Falmouth, and she worked in Falmouth for about a year, and then something happened to her that changed the course of our lives. She went down with something called yuppie flu. Put your hands up if you remember what yuppie flu is. I see your age in the room, okay? Today, we would call yuppie flu long COVID, okay? It's post-viral fatigue. And let me say something about that, because the Lord showed me something about that. A virus hits you, it could be any virus, but Nicola, it was called Epstein-Barr virus. Whatever the virus is, the same virus can hit two people, two identical people, same age, look very similar. One person throws it off in a day, and the other person, in Nicola's case, was invalided for about 3 years, you know. What's the difference? I remember at the time Nicola asked a nutritionist that question, and she explained it like this. She said, imagine two ships sailing along, identical ships. One is filled to the gunnels with cargo, low in the water. The other's got hardly any cargo. They both strike the same rock. One goes sailing on, the other one sinks. So you have two people sitting side by side, and they both look identical, but one is so stressed out with work and diet and stress, one thing or another, that when the virus hits them, their immune system's already burnt out. They just can't cope, you know. And I found spiritually that the same is true. You can be in the church for years, and every cell in your body is so overwhelmed with guilt and fear and anxiety and the stress of not being at rest that there'll come a crisis in your life. And that crisis will knock you down, whereas somebody else was sailing on. And you could call it long church. If you are continually sitting under exhortations to try harder for God, that will wear at your soul. It will wear you down. If you continually be pointed to yourself, it'll never do you any good. You are not the answer to yourself. I love when we sang, when the devil tempts me to look within, with the eye drops to see the guilt. Lift your head. Look to Christ. Look to what Christ has done. And so we're going to see this weekend, actually, that when the gospel lifts you and points you to Christ, you see something that changes you. That's what the Holy Spirit wants to do, to let you see something that changes you. You see, it's great to listen to somebody's testimony. It doesn't change you if it doesn't change what you believe. I could tell you some things now about what happened to Nicola after that, you know, and you'd find that very, perhaps very encouraging. Perhaps you'd even be encouraged and edified by it, but you wouldn't remember it 25 minutes from now if it didn't change what you believed. If it changes what you believe 25 years from now, you'll be a different person. Because as a man thinks, so he is. So the Bible says, above all things, guard your heart. guard that heart, that you can't live beyond the borders of what you have believed. Remember that little verse in Proverbs 4:23? Give all diligence to what you are believing, for out of your heart springs the issues of life. And that Hebrew word issues means borders. Nobody here can live beyond the borders of what they have believed, you know. So I'm sorry to disappoint any young people here who think that going to Hollywood will change your life, but if you wake up in Hollywood and you believe exactly the same as you believe here about yourself and your life, nothing's changed. Because you've brought yourself to Hollywood. Now the Holy Spirit wants to set you free, praise God, from your record, from your past, from your perspective, your earthly perspective on who you are. He wants to speak to you in such a way to call you by a name that perhaps you've never heard before. But when the Holy Spirit calls you by that name, he will witness to you that what you're hearing is true. You will not remember everything I say, and I certainly won't this weekend, but there will come a moment when the Spirit in you will jump. In the same way when Elizabeth said to Mary, blessed are you among all women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, and the baby in Elizabeth's womb, John the Baptist, jumped. Praise God. So you have the Holy Spirit in you. It's beautiful. I don't have to persuade you of anything. Isn't that wonderful? That takes the pressure off, you know. All I need to do is preach the gospel. The Holy Spirit is the one who does the persuading. He's the one who witnesses to the truth. He's the one that will give you a thrill in your heart, you know. And I think that the power of the gospel is to give us something the Bible calls a metanoia. Has anybody ever heard the word metanoia? Now, in your Bible, it's poorly translated as the word repentance. So to have a rethink. But metanoia is much more than a rethink. And metanoia is when your breath is taken away. And what you're believing actually changes. That's the turning point. When what you believe actually changes. Praise God. Therefore, give all diligence to what you're believing, you know. And this is a beautiful thing about the power of the gospel. That's the gift of grace. As the gospel goes out, there's power in this gospel, in this message about Christ and what he has done, to change us from the inside out. All religion can do is ask you to change from the outside in. It'll say, start with what you're doing. Do better things and you'll be a better person. No. That's to point you to yourself, you know. And by the way, this weekend when I use the word religion, I'll generally be using it in a negative connotation. What I mean by religion is self-effort. Self-effort. I thank God I've been delivered from self-effort. All the time by the gospel. I need to tell me again. Never say to me, you need more faith. Give me the gospel. Because faith comes by
hearing.
And hearing by the word of Christ. Isn't that beautiful? You see, God never expected any of us to do anything by ourselves. This world looks on you as a self and speaks to you as a self and says, get yourself sorted. But the gospel says, you're saved by grace through faith, and this not of yourself. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast, praise God. So it's not about self, it's about being set free for that. So the Father, when Jesus said like this, apart from me, you can do
nothing.
Nada. Nothing. Apart from me, you can do nothing. So God is not asking you or I to produce the Christian life. Isn't that beautiful? Mm-hmm. The angel Gabriel never said to Mary, you will produce Christ. What did he say? He said, when the Spirit comes, when the Spirit comes, when the Spirit comes, you'll bear Christ. And that's how we bear this beautiful life. You bear it by the power of the Spirit. And how does the Spirit come? Jesus said, my words are spirit in their life. So praise God. I just need to get full of the Holy Spirit and speak. And there's power in the words to change you. Let me go back to Nicola. You know, when she fell ill back in 1988, and we hoped that this thing would pass off after a few days. And a few days turned to a few weeks. A few weeks turned to a few years. Eventually, we'll fast forward a couple of years. We got married in a Catholic church in Leicester in 1989. Because I was a good Catholic with Mass every Sunday. And on that day, we got married at 1 o'clock. The bridesmaids went to Nicola's home at 11 o'clock, got her out of bed, put her in the shower, got her dressed, because she could do nothing for herself. She had no energy at all. She could get up for 1 hour a day, and that would expend all her energy. Maybe some of you know what that's like if you've had something like that, a postpartum fatigue. So she got to the church. She walked up the aisle. That was her top speed. We got married. We went back to the hotel, a bit like this it was. We had a meal, and she went to bed. And I stayed up for the rest of the party. So I had the wedding by myself until Nicola was in bed, you know. So then roll on another couple of years, and we decided at that point I wanted to go back to Ireland to work with my father, who was a veterinary surgeon. And Nicola was in despair because she didn't want to go home to a large Irish family and be swallowed up by my three brothers and three sisters. She was a good English girl from Leicester, she had one sister. So we arrived back in Derry in 1991, and she's lost her health, she's lost her career, she's miserable, she sees precious little of me, I'm out working. So one day in despair, she takes a taxi down the town and she wanders around, she walked into a Christian bookshop, and she cried out there, and the man shared the gospel with her again, and she recommitted her life to Christ. That's one way of putting it. I mean, the Holy Spirit touched her. She came out of the shop a different woman. Now, something remarkable happened, because she still came home unwell. 6 weeks later, she started to go to the little church that the man in the bookshop went to, and that happened to be the local apostolic church in Derry. And one night, there was a meeting there with a traveling evangelist, and this man was only there for one night. So a lady in the church volunteered to bring Nicola to the meeting because she couldn't drive. And on the way to the meeting, this lady said to her, "What's your symptom? What's the matter with you?" And Nicola mentioned four symptoms that she had. You know, she was totally lethargic, she had pains up and down her back, she had mental, she couldn't think or concentrate, and no matter what she ate, she just lost weight. During the meeting, this minister had a word of knowledge, and he said, "There's somebody here, and you have 1, 2, 3, 4. And he named exactly the same four symptoms that Nicola had told us there. Now, Nicola had never been to a meeting like that, so she sat in her chair, didn't move. And at the end of the meeting, she came up to the pastor and said, "That man was talking about me. What does that mean?" And the pastor said, "Well, maybe it means God wants to heal you. Do you believe God wants to heal you?" And we laugh now because we think if you've been in the church any longer, she probably said no. But you know what? She was young in the Lord. And she said, "Oh yeah, I believe that. I hope for that." So they took her into a little back room and they laid hands on her and began to pray for her. And suddenly, in her description, she fell out on the floor and she felt the power of God move over her body like a heat lamp. They went up one leg, this lamp across her stomach, down the other leg, up one arm, down, back. This went on for 20 minutes. She got up, she was totally healed. Totally healed. Now, she comes back to me. I'm the one going to church every Sunday. All right? She tells me she's healed. And by the way, she knows God personally, yeah? Now, what am I going to do? You see, when you have post-viral fatigue, you can put your makeup on, you can look fine, can't you? So I said, "Well, whatever, you know, we'll see. We'll really see." Well, I did see. I watched and watched and watched, and this lady who couldn't get up for an hour a day, she was like a spring chicken. She was running all over the place, you know, and her health was totally restored, and yes, she seemed to know God personally, you know. And I really wanted what she had. I had a really deep desire. I wanted to know God like she knew God. But I had a big problem, because I was from Northern Ireland. And I'm not going to become a Protestant, thank you very much. Maybe you're not familiar with that dynamic over here. I tell you, it's very big where I'm from. So I always say it took God 18 months to convince me that in heaven, he doesn't call people Protestant and Catholic. And so I got to a place where I said, "I can't stand it any longer. I want what you have. I want that assurance." You see, what I saw in my wife was confidence. Somebody who knew who they were. And that's what the Holy Spirit gives. He gives confidence, you know. And that's why I mentioned looking at, I think it was Christine and Michael tonight and the young children, the way they were with their children. When Nicola then was able to, we began to start a family and we had children. When my first child was born, an interesting thing happened. I remembered something. When I was 11 years of age, one day in Mass, I was watching people go up and down to communion, and something in me said, "I'm going to know God one day." And when I wondered when that would be, a strange answer came up. I said to myself, "When I have children, that's when I'll know you, Lord." Because I would be ashamed if a child of mine came to me and said, "Now, Daddy, I want to know God. You tell me what he's like." And I thought, wouldn't it be a shame if at that point I said to my own child, "I don't know, go and ask somebody else." Something in me, in the heart of an 11-year-old, thought that would be a scandal. Isn't that strange, isn't it? So it's almost like I made a little promise to God, "God, when I have children," and I totally forgot about it. And you know what? It was when our first child was born, Christopher. Those weeks when he was born, everything changed. And suddenly I felt the heart of a father for my child, and And that was the beginning of a journey. And all I want to do tonight really is to mention something else about the journey, which relates to what I'm going to show this, or tell you this weekend about the Father. And that is that at that time, when I gave my life to the Lord, we started going to the church, and we started doing everything that the church told us you need to do to be a good Christian. And that eventually led to me being ordained a pastor. And in 2004, I became the pastor of that church. That was a funny day, actually, because on that very day when I stood up in that church and said, actually, I better go back a little bit. One day when I publicly gave my life to the Lord, I stood up in the church and said, I just want to give my life. The whole place erupted. I didn't know they just had 10 days prayer and fasting for men to come into the church. And that was the last day of the fast. So, amazing the power of agreed prayer, that they didn't know they just fasted in their pastor and preacher. So 2004, I was ordained, and I set about trying to build a church. And there's the book, there's how you do it. And that's how he does it, and that's how they do it. That's how they do it down in their church, you know. All you need to do is just do all these things, and the church will grow. And lo and behold, we worked, and we spanned picks, we did all these things. And then 8 years in, came about 2012, a remarkable thing happened. All the young people started to leave. Another church started up in town. And it was a much better church than our church. The grass was greener, and one by one, they left. And I had a big problem with God. Because in my heart I said, I'm killing myself here. I'm doing everything I'm supposed to be doing. And somebody else is getting the blessing. What do I have to do here? And at that time, really, I came to a crisis. Now, Nicola had come to a crisis in her health. And this was like a spiritual crisis. You know, the word crisis means to choose. You'll come to places in your life where you really have to choose what you believe. Maybe it might be more accurate to say the crisis will really show you what you believe. It says in the book of Hebrews, when everything gets shaken, what you will see is what cannot be shaken. Sometimes everything has to get shaken for you to see the foundation that you're building your life on, you know. And at that time I began to see the foundation I was building on was people's opinion of me. People's opinions of me, you know. And I went to God and I said at that time, I don't get it anymore. You've got to tell me, what am I doing? What do you want me to do? What am I doing wrong? Just tell me what you want me to do. And the Holy Spirit showed me, Phil, it's not about what you're doing, it's about your believing. It's not what you're doing, it's what you're believing. And he came and he showed me Luke 15, the story of the elder brother and the prodigal son. And he showed me the elder brother in that story who had watched his brother, who had done nothing, get all the blessing that he thought should have been his. And he took me to Luke 15, verse 31, one verse where the father goes out to the field to plead with the elder brother to come into the party. And he looks at him and he says, son, don't you know, you're always with me, and everything I have is yours. And I was a minister in the church for years, and I didn't know that. I didn't have a revelation of that. I didn't have a revelation that he had not withheld one good thing from me. And I want to tell you this weekend that that revelation is for each one of us. Because when you realize the enormity of what you have already been given, it will deliver you of grasping, which is rooted in fear. We are grasping for life. Grasping, grasping, grasping all the time. Trying to make a life, make a name for yourself. That's what we do when we don't receive the name the Father has for us. We live as an orphan, grasping for a name for ourselves. And so, when I received that revelation, I began to hear his voice. It totally changed me from the inside out. And I began to come into rest about who I was. I made an amazing discovery. What you do is rooted in what you're believing. It's not the other way around. Coming away from this weekend with a list of things to do will do you no good if what you're believing hasn't changed. Jesus did not come to trim the head, what you're doing. He came to take an axe to the root. You know, again and again, people came to him and said, what should we be doing to do the works of God? Can you remember what he said?
Believe.
Only this. Believe in God and whom he has sent. Believe, you see. The world will point you to what you're doing. And when they do that, they're pointing you to you. Pointing you to you will never change you. You don't have the power to change you. It's be having your vision lifted to see how much you have been given. That's what changes you. when you know how much you have been given, and when Christ walked this earth as a man full of the Holy Spirit, he was a man who heard the voice of his Father, even in the desert, when it looked like to the world he had nothing. And the enemy came and said, well, come on, if you are a son of God, why don't you change these stones to bread? Why don't you fly? Come on, prove yourself. And that's what the world will say to you. And when the Spirit of the Word comes into the church, that's what you'll be told. Why don't you do something to make yourself a Christian? Listen, nobody makes themselves a Christian. And when you begin to see that you are a believer, not because of your new behavior, but because of your new birth, then you can finally start trying to be a Christian and start living as a child of God. That's a world of difference. I spent years trying to be a Christian. You know, if you're trying to be a Christian, it's an expression of unbelief. Let's pick on Simon. Simon, you believe you're Simon Taylor, don't you? Wouldn't it be strange now if you get up this morning and he's in the mirror and he's trying to comb his hair and you ask him, what are you doing? He's saying, what way would Simon have his hair? What way would Simon trim his beard? He said, what are you trying to do? Oh, I need to try and be like Simon. He said, what are you doing? You are Simon. Just be who you are. You're absolutely convinced of who you are. Because your parents never named you according to your behavior. They called you Simon on your worst day as well as your best day. They never changed. What you did never changed who you were born from. Praise God. And when you get that by the Holy Spirit, you're free. You're free from yourself. You're free from religion. You're free from self-effort. And you can be free from the condemnation of the enemy who wants to list before you everything that you haven't done yet or could do better. Don't let him drop your eyes off Christ. There's no hope there. There's no joy there. Praise God. He takes the things that are not. So be a thing that is not. Praise God. He takes the foolish things to frustrate the wisdom of the wise. Remember Paul said to Galatians, can you not remember where you started? Yeah. Having begun in the Spirit, why would you finish in the flesh? Yeah. Praise God. So that's what it is to have the joy of being in rest, to be absolutely convinced that you're a child of God, that he's a good father, and he's your father. Because the Spirit within you witnesses. You see, and when that happens, when you get that, and that's for every person in this room, and that's happening right now, and God's not asking you to do that. He says, I give that. It comes by my Spirit. It comes by my Word. It comes by the proclamation of who I am. But when you see, when you raise your eyes to see the things above, you will see that you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. We sang it tonight. We sang so many things that we don't even see them anymore. Your life is hidden tonight with Christ in God. Live from there. Think from there. Speak from there. Pray from there. Praise God. And people will see the light of heaven shining through you. Or they'll see joy and peace. They'll see somebody reigning in life, not somebody straining in life. Praise God. As the joy of the Lord is your strength. Oh, thank God for thanksgiving. Thanksgiving. You know, the day of Pentecost, people thought they were drunk. Oh, for the day when people will say of us, are you drunk in that church or what? Where does that joy come from? You know what God showed me? Thanksgiving is the mark of the Holy Spirit. When I look around and somebody asks me, who's the most anointed person in your church? I don't like questions like that because everybody's anointed, okay? But if it, who's manifesting it the most? I would say the most thankful person in the room. Who's the most thankful person in the room? See, what this world wants to do is to strip you of thanksgiving. Thanksgiving is your strength. Thanksgiving. You know, maybe you've come this weekend with a question. What's God's will for my life? Let me give you the answer right now and you can go home if you don't like the dessert or the pudding or whatever, you know. I'll give it to you now, okay? You want to know what God's will is for your life? Give thanks in all circumstances. Pray continually. Rejoice always. But this is God's will for your life. Wow. To be filled with thanksgiving. I'll tell you. You'll be generous, you'll be loving, you'll be patient, you'll be kind. Have you ever seen those people, those adverts on the television for the household lottery? What's that thing? What's it called? The postcode lottery. And there's advertisement, they go to the door, what a great job, I love that job. You love that job? Imagine that's your job. You simply go to the door and you give people checks. And then the camera's there, and these people are crying and they're laughing. What is that? That's Thanksgiving. Do you know that's inside you? It just needs to be released. What releases that is the truth. When you see When your eyes are lifted up, when you see how much you have been given, praise God. You lose sight of yourself. You lose self-consciousness. The Bible has a word for that, holy boldness. You know, you remember, you've all probably done the Alpha Course. Do you remember that story in the Alpha Course about a guy who's too scared to tell anybody he's a Christian, so he doesn't want to give his life to the Lord? So a wise minister says to him, well, actually, you know, you can't become a Christian without telling your soul. He goes, really? Oh, yeah, you can, yeah. Oh, great, I'll do that then. So he receives the Holy Spirit, he's full of the Holy Spirit. He runs straight home, he opens the front door, all his family around the table. He says, guess what? You can become a Christian, not tell anybody. You see, the Holy Spirit removes from you self-consciousness. The Holy Spirit will fill you with Son consciousness. Not sin consciousness, Son consciousness, you know. And that's not to belittle sin, it's to lift up Christ. It's to lift up Christ. You see, that's why little children, you know, our children were so lacking in self-consciousness when they're very small. It was a sad day when they went to secondary school, one of them in particular, and he just reverted into a self-conscious, timid person. He was actually getting bullied, you know. What's happened, what the world does, it points you to yourself, and you shrivel up on the inside. I've lost all track of time now. You know that little verse in the Bible where it talks about Paul preached all night and somebody eventually fell out of the window? I know why he did that, you know. He had the chocolate brownie in. That's what makes you go all night. But you know, let me give you this picture. And this helped me a lot. As long as people were telling me what I was not, what I was not, what I was not, I had to do better, do better, do better. They kept my eyes on me. If you're trying to raise children, and with the best will in the world, all you do every day is tell them what they could do better. It sounds like you're doing a terrible job. You know why? Because you're saying to them, you're not enough. You're not enough. You're not enough. And what you will raise are not confident children. You will raise self-conscious, nervous, insecure children. The Holy Spirit does not raise self-conscious, insecure, nervous children. He raises confident children, because confident children are a great testimony to confident parents. They really are. Here's the little picture, and I'm going to leave you with this tonight. Anybody seen the King's Speech? Do you remember that film? You know, there's a part in that film where the King, who was actually the Queen who's just passed away, his father, isn't that right? He was born with a stutter, a terrible stutter. That man was some man, wasn't he? He was thrust into the limelight. My God, what he had to put up with. When his brother abdicated, not only had he now to become the king and he couldn't string two words together, he was thrust into a world war. Her man was so stressful for him, and he died prematurely. But in that film, if you remember, there's a moment where the first time ever he speaks fluently without one single stutter. Can you remember how it happened? He went to the therapist, and the therapist said, I want you to read something. And he gave him a little book of Shakespeare's sonnets. And he said, read that. And the king stuttered and stammered over it. And he says, okay, now try this. And he put headphones on the king, and he turned up the music really loud. And the king said, I can't hear myself. Don't worry, just read it. So the king starts to read, not even hearing himself. Eventually he throws down the headphones in disgust and frustration and walks out, but he keeps the record. And sometime later, when he's deeply frustrated, he puts on that record and he is shocked to hear himself speak without a single stutter. Do you know why? Because when the sound of your own mistakes and failures is removed from your thinking, you can speak fluently. And what the Holy Spirit comes to do is to lift your eyes off yourself, to silence the accuser, to have you hear the voice of the Father saying what kept Christ in the desert, behold my beloved Son with whom I am well pleased, before he did a single thing. When you hear that, you will speak fluently as your Father speaks the word of God. You will not stutter and stammer with self-conscious. There will be a holy boldness. There will be a flow of the Holy Spirit. It will be genuine good news. And nobody will have to give you a lesson on evangelism. You won't be able to show up. I remember when our first child was born. Oh, I was so excited when Crystal was born. I really look forward to telling my father, you know. It's a strange thing. Nobody had to give me a 10-week course on how to tell people you're going to be a father. Amen. Nobody could stop me. Why? Because it was good news. It was good news. And my heart really is to see the gospel restored as good news, not good advice. Because when you understand the enormity of the good news, nobody's going to stop you from sharing it. You won't be able to help yourself. You'll just be so full of joy, you'll speak. And you'll always say the right words. You know, a mother, sometimes a young woman when she becomes a mother, she worries, I'll never be a good mother. Not like my mother, my grandmother. But what if I make a mistake? The moment that child is put in her arms, she's the best mother because she speaks in love. Everything she does is in love. She always says the right thing because she speaks in love. When you're filled with the love of the Father, you'll speak the right things to people. You'll explain scriptures correctly. Because his nature is love. He cannot separate the spirit from love. If you cannot have a love as you speak, then you're a clanging symbol. I'm not saying God can't use what you're saying. He uses a donkey. But you know what? Jesus didn't die to be the firstborn among many donkeys. But among many brethren. You know? Maybe sometimes we put ourselves down going, well, I'm just an empty vessel. The Lord uses me. Don't do that. Christ didn't die on a cross for empty vessels. Prophecy is not like partial force. You're not just delivering a message. He wants to give you the thoughts of God. When you're thinking like your Father thinks, then you'll speak like he speaks. Praise God. Now we're going to look at all that over the weekend. Praise the Lord. Tonight I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to declare some things over you. I'm going to thank God for you. And just pray. Can we just bow our heads a moment? I'm just going to pray. Just allow the Holy Spirit just to speak. Father, I just thank you for your beautiful words over us. I thank you for the word that sets us free. I thank you for hearing our name. I thank you, Lord, that when you came right away through the Bible, you spoke to people, not according to the record, but according to who you had called them to be. Not according to the earthly record, but according to the purpose and grace given in Christ before the foundation of the world. Father, I just thank you that your Holy Spirit is calling our name. You're calling us upward. You're calling us out of that self-conscious, small, limited life, bordered by our unbelief. You're calling us into a wide open space. You're calling us into the land you have given us, a land called in Christ. For as you received him, so walk in him. So Father, I just thank you for that turning point in our lives this weekend. I thank you, Lord, that it comes in the gentlest of whispers. For you know the lies that we have believed. And I thank you, Lord, that your word comes like a sharp sword just to cut us free, to lift that weight from us. For you said, my burden is easy. My yoke is light. I thank you, Father. The joy of confident children, that's your gift to us by your Spirit, who cries out in our hearts, Abba, Father. So I declare over you tonight the delights of your Father in your life. May your heart open like a flower this weekend to receive words that he's been gently whispering to you. I pray that the voice of the accuser would be silenced for a weekend, that you would not stutter, but that you would speak blessing and life and the truth over yourself, that you would find that the voice of God is able to lift you in a way that no amount of advice can. You would find the gospel gives you wings. It gives you the power to ascend out of the small-mindedness of religiosity and into the glorious mind, the thoughts of God, which are as high above our thoughts as the heavens are above the earth. Thank you, Father, for the physical healing that comes from the rest that you bring to the soul. I thank you, Lord, just for healing in this place, for all the cells of the body that have been weighed down with anxiety and fear and worry and guilt. Thank you that you lift that off us, Lord. I thank you for in my life and the life of every person here, there would be freedom flowing like a river, and they would find themselves carried along to that new place, that place of rest and peace and fruitfulness in Jesus. We ask this in Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Every person here can prophesy. Every person here can prophesy. Believe the gospel. Believe what God is saying to you. When you are set free from yourself, you suddenly see people in a different way. And when you're filled with the love of God for people, you'll speak to them beautiful things. Beautiful things over people's lives. And it's amazing to see the power of a kind word. Have you been touched by a kind word? It's beautiful, isn't it? It's amazing to see the power of one word. Jesus said, even a glass of water has an amazing effect on something, you know? So be filled with the Holy Spirit. This weekend, have those anointed conversations where you'll find his love speaking through you, and you'll be amazed at the change in people around you. Praise the Lord. Praise God. God bless you.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Is that good?
Yeah.